Our topic is the church, the body of Christ. We start out with the first group is 12 and 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So by one Spirit, which is Christ, God, the Holy Trinity, all are baptized into one body, which is the church. This is not a baptism of water, but of the Holy Spirit. Also, the meaning expressed here in the latter part of this verse, where it says, all have been made to drink in the one Spirit. This fulfills some prophecy in the Gospel. Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, but shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." This is also recorded just about verbatim in John 1:33. After Christ died on the cross, he comes back on earth as the best of the apostles. And in Matthew 28th chapter, there at the end, as we call the Great Commission, he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This was fulfilled. First of all, in Acts 1:9, of course we'll get on in a few minutes to Acts 2. Acts 1:5 says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So the baptism that we're concerned with now is not or putting away the filth of the flesh, as it says in 1 Peter 3:21-22. "The like Peter unto me the baptism, but also now saving him, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities, and been made servant." So that's baptism of the Holy Ghost. We become the church, the body. So what is this body we're baptized into? Of course, it is the church, as we see it. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:22-23, "It hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And Christ is the head of his body, his church. Colossians 1:18. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." We are members of this body, of this church. Individually, 1 Corinthians 12:27, "That ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And we are members one of another. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So, Brother Bill spoke yesterday about the foundation of the church. And he explained then that the church was merely a vehicle of people taking gospel to the people. And so as we see here in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, individually we are members, and collectively we are members one of another. And we enter this body at baptism. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, as we read in our text. And then the first time that it actually happened was on the day of Pentecost. After Peter had preached Jesus to the Jews there at Pentecost, telling them that they had crucified the Son of God. This is when we understand that the church actually started, the New Testament church, if we remember it all in this dispensation and time of what we were part of. Acts 2, begin with verse 37. Now when they heard this, speaking of the Jews there on Pentecost, were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then of course Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call us. And with many other words that he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice he said added. We are added to church. We are added to the body which we are members of. We do not join the church. Then in Acts 2 and 47, later on it says, praising God and having favor of all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the body of the church which Christ is the Savior of. For the husband is the head of the church. Life, and even as Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. So, we're added to his church when we, as individuals, believe. Of course, we've heard the word, repented, we confess, and then baptized. This baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water is used symbolically. As we saw earlier, that John baptized with water. Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. We arise and walk in the newness of life. Touch his blood. We're members of his body. As we know, his body suffered great sacrifice on the cross for us. Because God loved us so much, he sent his son, his only son, the only begotten son, die this cruel death for us, members of his body. The pain and anguish that he went through was for us to become members of his body. And of course, his blood that was shed there was for the atonement of our sins, the ultimate atonement. We no longer have to rely on the blood of bulls and goats and make all these sacrifice offerings as the people before us did in the last dispensation. We would believe, we repent, we confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we're baptized into the Holy Spirit. We're put down in the water, we rise up. Death, burial, and resurrection. So now this brings us to what is our role as members of this body. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body for a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed. We know through the gospel, the Bible, that Jesus lived on this earth for some 33 years. He was born a man. He was tempted as we are. The devil tempted him left and right. Such as the devil can tempt us left and right. Everything that he's got, he's coming to earth. The body of the church. Because he's got the word, but he wants us. He and his angels are throwing everything in at us. But we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Doing that what is good and perfect will of God, acceptable will of God. It says to be conformed. Be conformed. We do our best every day of our lives to live as perfect as Jesus did the 33 years that he was here on this earth. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That means this is what transforms his word. Individually and collectively as members. We not all have the same function. Romans 12 and 4. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Brother Dwayne, Brother Ed, they have the ability, the talent, but most importantly, the will to take the gospel and to take help into different parts of the world. Brother Ed said, they were retired from their jobs. And they chose to spend time in this retirement doing this good work. We meet as a congregation. We meet as the church. Many congregations represented here today. Not all have the same function. Not all of us members have the same function. We all have certain gifts, certain talents that we can use to make this profitable to God. We must utilize our gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. And he that teacheth on teaching. And he that exhorteth, only exhorteth. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Also in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. That God in all things be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we utilize our gifts that God has given us. Whatever it may be. We're not to devalue 1 Corinthians 12, 19. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would it hear? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as he hath pleased, as it has pleased him. And if we were all one member, we're one body. So we can do our part. Whatever gift we're blessed with, we need to use it in the church. And we're certainly not to devalue others' roles. 1 Corinthians 12, continuing on 20 and 21. But now are they many members, but one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of him. We are to encourage one another to use our gifts in the church and not devalue one another's roles. We are to grow, and growth requires everyone doing its share in love. Ephesians 4, 14, 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're supposed to be functional members of the body, of Christ's body, Ephesians 5 and 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Third point I want to look at is what is necessary of the body or the church. Caring for one for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no chisel in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another, and that chisel equals the gift. We can honor each other, Romans 12, 9 through 11. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, plead with that which is good. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This fervent in spirit means boiling over with spirit, sharing with each other. Romans 12, 12 and 13. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing against it in prayer, contributing to the necessity of saints in the hospitality. We're to share with each other. Brother Ed had a very fine presentation on how we can see, Brother Dwayne Austin, we can see the needs that are outside in the United States. We've been over that need for years that Brother Harry has shared with us, Brother Danny has shared with us. We're to share with each other here. There may be some here this morning in our presence that actually had needs. And if we know that need, we should share. We certainly should share with the brother throughout the world. We're to rejoice and weep with each other. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. And through love, we are to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the things of the flesh, but by love serve. These are instructions that we find Paul giving instructions to the church. And we are to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. For what Peter means to stir up as politics is, it's easy to stir up wrath and godless deeds, but it takes much more to stir up one another to love and good works. We're not to forsake the assembly. This admonition involves more than just erratic attendance. The assembling of God's people provides opportunity for reciprocal encouragement, strengthening, and the stirring up that gaining one of another. And of course, it consists of participation in worship and fellowship. It's just the body being interactive with each other. Church being interactive. We as this body of Christ, we're special. We're a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Christ is our high priest. 1 Peter 2:9-10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is my thoughts on